Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability. My name is Raf. Today we are talking with Megan Spindler-Smith, Acting CEO, People with Disability Australia. They are a proud disabled leader with over two decades of driving successful inclusion, culture and change initiatives across the not-for-profit public and private sectors. They are currently the Acting CEO of People with Disability Australia, the National Cross Disability Rights and Advocacy Organisation. Megan is passionate about driving profound strategic change for people with disability at a national level to foster widespread accessibility and integrated inclusion through an intersectional and direct lived experience lens. So welcome to the Boldness, Megan Spindler. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much, Raf. I'm doing great and I'm looking forward to having this chat with you.
Look, and it is a very important chat we're going to have. It's like we're having a conversation in the living room, but there's lots and lots and lots of people listening. And a little call out, The Boldness is a top 30 Australian podcast discussing the disability issues. And we're going to be talking with you about the consultation needed on NDIS planning reforms.
Yeah, there's a lot going on and there needs to be some big changes in how we're included in it.
They do. Now let's actually go through. There's a very famous quote, it's the fallback position of nearly every disability or leader with a disability, to be more exact. Laura Hershey, that very famous poem, "Nothing about us without us." So it becomes a rhetorical question. Why is it important people with a disability are consulted about the NDIS?
I think it's important because there are so many changes happening with the NDIS so quickly, and this is about our lives. We are the experts in our lives. We have the ability, the skills, and the knowledge to say, what do we need? How do we need it? And what is going to be best for us to have actually inclusive lives that we choose, just like everyone else in the community has the right to choose. We just have barriers because our society is not set up for us, and the NDIS is a brilliant way to help us ensure that those barriers are no longer as much of a barrier as they currently are for much of our community.
Megan, what are some of the barriers people have come across to access the NDIS?
Look, there's so many things going on around barriers. I think some of them is really a lack of understanding how the changes to the NDIS impact them. That includes the review process, the eligibility process. Not all of that is fully clear. And people are really worried. Those of us who in our community that do have access to the NDIS are worried about how some of these changing supports will impact our ability to access our lives, our jobs, our community. And that fear and confusion is creating barriers to accessing the right kind of supports that are built on our choice and control. So what we are seeing is that the lack of information that's available right now means that people are actually even unsure whether or not they can apply for the NDIS, whether or not they should actually request plan reviews when something changes that they really do need to have reconsidered in their plan to make sure that their whole life is being considered in this process. But also what we're seeing is that families and carers are also under pressure because the policy changes that we're seeing are already changing people's behaviours, and people are being more reticent in how they utilise or engage with the NDIS.
Yeah, and look, and one of the things that quite, well, on a fairly regular basis, people with a disability, they can have a carer or disability support workers of one kind of another. So people with disability can access what they want in the community to actually have fulfilling lives. So by withholding that information, because the information and timeline is actually isn't clear, it actually has a flow-on effect on not just people with a disability, but those closest around them, and that terrible word, industry of community services. That is, the workers are needed, carers are all needed. It's not just people with a disability, but it's actually a whole community that has been affected.
It's so true. It's got such wide-ranging potential and current impacts. And I think that we know that we want a scheme that is sustainable. We want one that is going to be able to support our community and our support needs. However, what we don't want lost is the ability for us to engage in our communities, engage in employment if that's right for us, just like everyone else gets those choices, engage in what we do and how we choose to live our lives. And what we're seeing is that the confusion, people being worried about reviews and eligibility, and also because some people are already changing how they use their supports because they're actually worried about losing them. And the speed of the reforms and the clear lack of full information is creating some real concern in our community.
And what would people with disability, how would they like to be involved in this process of consultation?
Look, I think the first thing is it needs to be more than consultation. It needs to be actual co-design and genuine co-design. The current speed of the reforms means that that's not necessarily fully possible. And so what we need to make sure is that our views and our needs are not forgotten in this. We talk about this concept of dignity of risk through supported decision making, and consultation and co-design really is about people with disability having the right to be part of the decisions about their own lives, but also being able to take everyday risks through the supports that we access that are standard risks that everyone else has, but also being able to say, hey, this is where this isn't going to work and here's why, and that being trusted because we really are experts in what supports look like and how we can utilize them in the most flexible way that actually could be the most cost-effective way if we're given the space to understand how we can use them and how we can ensure that the NDIS that is built on choice and control still maintains that.
Megan, there's a great quote about what risk means. How about we actually hear it, what you actually had to say about the NDIS and risk?
Yeah, look, I think it's such a really interesting concept because there's been a lot of discussion lately around safeguarding, and there's been the recent bill to come through around safeguarding. And what hasn't necessarily been clear in the conversation is the fact that dignity of risk through supported decision making for our whole community is so key to us just being able to engage in life. And what I mean by that is, say I want to learn how to ride a motorcycle. Now, one of my disabilities is a physical disability. It's probably not the safest for me to get on a big zoomy motorbike right now without training, without support, without someone supporting me to do it. But as long as I have all of the information that I need and can make a decision around how I learn to do something that many of my peers are able to do and that someone can support me with that, then I can decide, is that a level of risk I'm willing to have in my life so that I can have what I see as a self-fulfilling life? Now, I will be honest and say that I personally am not learning to ride a motorcycle, mostly because I am very clumsy, and if we're looking at it on a risk perspective, I don't think I should personally take that risk. But it shouldn't be something that somebody else decides for me. Only I should decide what my level of risk
is. Megan, one of the things that's very important to everyone, especially people with a disability, I believe it's really about autonomy. It's especially people with disability instead of people making decisions. Now, what would you really like to say about this from an NDIS perspective, that people with disability have their own right for self-determination here?
The NDIS was built on choice and control. Dignity of risk enabled through supported decision making means we lead our lives with everyday risks, not through others' decisions for us.
Yep, and look, and that's actually something which I don't believe the community actually does get. I would say that from lived experience of disability, I do identify as having a hidden disability. It goes back a long, long way. And in that time, there is very different expectations and bars put by nearly every single person of some type of assigned authority over people, ranging from in choices with employment, choices with relationship, choices with housing, choices of hobbies, choices of friends, and essentially, the NDIS has changed significantly from what people with a disability did fight for. And that was actually the right for access and inclusion. And now it's taking a step back and coming into, I call it, the big brother and a stick approach. We will make these decisions on behalf of people with disability, because thank you for your input, but we don't need to talk with everybody else, the people that are actually involved, because we know best. And, well, I'm going to say this because I can say these sort of things in airs as a host of the Boldness. It's something which the government has clearly got wrong as far as their planning and processes go in place, because the fallback position from an advocacy perspective is Laura Hershey, nothing about us without us. And in this case, people with a disability are out of the picture. Any thoughts on those little free bits of thinking?
Yeah, look, absolutely agree. And as somebody who also has non-apparent or hidden disability as well, the amount of people throughout my life who have felt that it's their right to make a decision for me when I'm perfectly capable of doing, if I have access to all of the supports that I need, it becomes a situation where if we don't ensure that people with disability have access to the supports they need to make the decisions in their lives, and somebody takes that away from us, they substitute our decision making, and they don't provide supported decision making processes or people or ways of doing it, then the right that we have, like every person, regardless of whether you're a person with disability or not, we have a right to make decisions about our own lives. And the NDIS is so pivotal and important to supporting how we do that. And we need to have transparent and co-designed reforms, because we are at the heart of the NDIS. Our needs and the whole point of it was to ensure that we actually do have inclusion in our community. And what we do know is the impact of having people with disability be able to access the community, employment, everything, relationships, all of the above, in an equitable way to the rest of our community, has only demonstrated how much better our economy is, how much better our employment situation, our inclusion and our approaches, even the way we make decisions around how we change things. The curb cut effect, I know it's a bit of a side piece, but the curb cut effect is a perfect example of, if you include people with disability in decision making, if you put us at the core of the impacts in our own lives, like the importance of choice and control within the NDIS, we actually make things better for the whole community. And so I think that's something that is going, it's feeling like it's being lost as these changes are happening so fast, to the point that we're not always able to access all the information we need to ensure that it is nothing about us without us. And I'm going to add a word to it. I'm going to add all, because it needs to be all of our community as well.
Thank you very much for that, Megan. We are sadly fast running out of time, so we need to make sure, what is the best way for people to contact People with a Disability Australia so they can follow the great work that People with Disability Australia do as a peak body? What's the website?
Look, please? Absolutely. Love people to follow us. You can become a member if you're a person with disability as well. The website is p pwd.org.au. And you can also email us at pwd@pwd.org.au. So please feel free to contact us, share your thoughts, and get involved. We want our community to share their insights, their concerns, so that we can keep putting that directly to the government.
Thank you very much for your time today, Megan. We've been talking with Megan Spindler-Smith, Acting CEO, People with Disability Australia. Thank you very much for coming on to The Boldness. Thank you very much for your time, Megan.
Thank you so much, Raph. I've really loved having this conversation in our metaphorical lounge room with you.
Much appreciated.
The Boldness has just been talking with Megan Spindler-Smith, Acting CEO of People with Disability Australia. Coming up on May the 19th, Shel DeStefano has the opening of a new exhibition, Oral Transferences, Memory of Sound Through Deaf Ears, and that opens on May the 19th. Keep listening to 3CR, and if you don't think the revolution has started, you're listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Let's go out with a song, Crossroads by Roma Clark. Thank you for joining me tonight.